You felt it, didn't you?
Yes.
Oh, Lord, help me. Yes, I did.
A flailing naked foot kicked the blaster out of Ryan's hand, jarring his wrist. He tried to push the sticky away from him, but the creature was on top of him, its falling weight knocking him helplessly to the floor. There wasn't time to call out to Jack, not even time to draw a breath. Charlie had obviously been sharper than Ryan or Jack had suspected, leaving a man behind to watch the buildings and a creepy crawl around in the dark to see what he could find out. The mutie must have spotted the open trap in the roof and climbed up, seen Ryan in the darkness, and simply dropped on him. Now, it was a desperate battle, with the sticky having the initial advantage. His suckered hands were groping for Ryan's face, whipping at his coat. After the first heart-stopping shot, Ryan's next realization was that his attacker wasn't carrying any sort of weapon. No blaster threatened him, not even a knife. But there were sharp teeth scratching the skin on Ryan's throat, jaws snapping in his face, the rank stench of rotting fish flooding his nostrils, a bony knee jabbing between his thighs. Ryan was used to direct physical confrontation, able to make a fast decision on what kind of person was fighting him. The sticky was close to 6 feet, but much skinnier than he was. And from hanging on to his assailant's wrists to try to control him, Ryan was very aware of the brutish strength that resisted him. One hand brushed against the side of his head and jerked out a clump of hair, bringing a section of bloodied scalp with it.
Bastard.
Ryan seized the sticky's upper arm, exerting all of his own power to try to separate the muscle from the bone. The mutie tried to roll and kick himself away from the agonizing pain. The moon veiled herself behind some tatters of high cloud, throwing the projection room into total blackness. Ryan let go of the sticky, crawling toward the observation window at the front.
Charlie was right. Said you might have stayed. Told us to look and hide.
Even in the heightened tension of a battle for his life, Ryan was able to notice the significant use of the word us. There were others around Bearclaw Ridge. He had to warn Jack as quickly as possible.
You hurt my arm, Norm. Real bad.
Ryan crouched and waited. On the off chance, he brushed cautiously with his fingers in a sweeping circle, in case the blaster had dropped within reach. But there was nothing, except dirt, glass, and broken pieces of the old projection machinery.
Where are you, Norm? Frightened of being chilled?
Ryan's hand crept to the hilt of the 18-inch panga, tightened, and drew it from the soft leather sheath.
Gonna see how many Norms lived in these places. Charlie thinking some lot.
To try to use the panga totally blind was to court disaster. It might crack against the wall or just strike the sticky a glancing, wounding blow. Either way, there was a real risk that Ryan would lose his hold on it. He had to get close enough to be sure of a firm blow against the enemy.
Stay there, Norm! Gonna see what's down here!
Ryan tried to shuffle after the mutie, but he was noisier in his heavy boots. Aware of this, he stopped and remained perfectly still. Above him, there was a very faint increase in the light as the moon began to shrug off the insistent clouds. It was enough for Ryan to make out the wispy hair of the sticky, disappearing out of view down the narrow stairs. Ryan considered throwing the panga, but it was a clumsy weapon, and the odds favored a miss. Better to stalk after the man and hope to trap him between himself and Jack.
Down and down, I'm going and around, make my head be spinning, Norm.
Ryan finally moved across the room, glancing up at the open trap door in case there were any more stickies waiting to jump him. But the rectangle of silver light was unbroken. The mutie was out of sight, but Ryan could hear him.
Door closed. Closed and shut as well it is.
The sticky apparently grabbed the handle of the door and tried to force it open.
Seen another down here. Try that one too.
Now there was enough light coming into the cramped little room to enable Ryan to make out where the Sig Sauer had landed. He stooped and picked it up, holding it in his left hand, keeping the panga in his right. If, as now seemed likely, there were other stickies prowling the night, it was as well to be triple ready. Ryan paused at the top of the dark stairwell, unable to see anything. He concentrated his hearing, catching the tiny click of the latch opening. The sticky might be waiting for him in the midnight velvet stillness. If it had been Charlie himself down there, Ryan would have hesitated for a long time before risking the descent. But this was an ordinary sticky, with the usual intelligence level of a broken fence post. Ryan went down after him, feeling carefully for the rail. The access to the lobby was closed. Here, the light was almost gone. Ryan reached out with the hand holding the pistol and pushed very gently at the door. It moved an inch or so, then stopped, as if someone were standing with their foot jammed against it. Ryan let his breath slowly out and counted off 60 seconds, pushing the door again. This time he felt the same resistance and heard the smallest sound. There was a ghostly light in the lobby that showed along the crack every time Ryan pushed at the door. It would mean that he would be completely exposed to anyone who might be waiting there. The other option was to go back into the projection box and climb out through the trap, over the roof, and down into the street at the side of the Sky High Mall. Then come all the way around and approach the Beacon Cinema from the front. Which didn't seem a great idea either. Ryan set his shoulder against the door and gave it a great heave, powering himself through the gap, rolling over onto one shoulder and coming up with a Sig Sauer, raking the gloom around him.
Bang, you did.
Thanks, Jack.
You're welcome, Ryan.
Nearly crapped my pants.
Now Ryan could see the white smudge of the teenager's hair, low down. Behind Jack, by the closed door, there was another pale blur, lying stretched on the floor. The body that had been blocking the exit from the stairs.
Took the sticky.
Didn't hear the... Of course. Didn't use the blaster. Throwing knives.
Yeah, just one. Wasn't sure how things might be with you. Figured I'd wait.
Think there's more stickies around. He slipped by me in the dark, but he talked of us being left by Charlie.
Better go look for him?
And leave Abe on his own?
They can find us. He could die anyways, Ryan.
Ryan thought about their options. The idea of hiding was now undermined. Having killed one of the stickies, it would bring any other searching around. Kill them, and Charlie might come back in the dawning to see what was happening to his missing patrol. Either way, it was going to mean taking a serious risk.
How is Abe?
No change.
Then we'll go do some hunting.
There were two more of the murderous muties loose around Bear Claw Ridge. Ryan and Jack separated outside the movie house. One of them trailed and killed his prey successfully, and one of them didn't. JB stopped and beckoned Christy to his side.
See the terrain here?
Yeah.
What do you think?
What do you mean? Oh, I see. Could be.
Put the guns on both sides, but the rising slope means there's no risk of pouring lead into one another. Be firing downhill a little, which isn't so good for accuracy. Still.
The armorer's glasses glinted silver in the moonlight. He licked his lips in the eager anticipation of a good ambush. The others joined them, quickly understanding what he planned. Dorina punched one hand into the other.
Give him some shit!
Could be a good place to catch him, especially if they're moving fast and careless.
Never heard of a sticky that wasn't careless. Setting for that Charlie, of course.
Maybe I could sort of lure them, pretend I got a bad ankle or something, limp back there so they see me. Then they'll be thinking about me and start chasing me, and you can take them easy.
No.
It'd work.
And then I get to tell your father that some sticky got a lucky shot and blew half your head away? Dark night.
Forgive my interruption, John Barrymore. I am a famous dullard when it comes to subtle variations in the fine art of warfare. But it does seem to me that the little rascal has come up with a potentially game-winning suggestion.
The forest closed around them. The trail ran straight for about 150 paces. On each side, the hills rose away, with excellent cover for hidden shootists.
I'm the one in charge. I don't like the risk.
A perfect ambuscade. We can annihilate the enemy, then return safely to liberate Bear Claw Ridge and all who sail in it. And do business in great waters, for they... I'm sorry, I appear to have momentarily lost the thread of my discourse.
JB, I say let him do it. It's a good plan.
Dad would let me if he was here.
Fine. Let's do it. And go make sure everyone's safe up the hill.
Storage units had been ripped off one of the walls of the mall, leaving brackets scattered all over the floor. Trying to move quietly through the concrete maze of small units and gaping doorways, Ryan slipped and turned his ankle, falling heavily.
Fire blast.
Fortunately, if there were any stickies nearby, none of them seemed to have been attracted by the clatter. All around him, the retail